Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's gadgets and gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.
So, where do we begin today?
We begin with killer robots.
Oh.
Well, someone's got to.
I'm having a bad morning. I don't want to start having to worry about killer robots as well.
It's just about a year ago that a company called Ghost Robotics demonstrated a robotic dog with a sniper rifle fixed to its back.
Oh, good grief.
And there's also a video going the rounds on Twitter showing a dog going over an assault course with a rifle and trying to fire at targets, but missing really dreadfully, just firing all over the place.
But this is a dog prompted, dog.
It's a robot dog.
A robot dog. Oh, right.
It's a robot dog. This has prompted Boston Dynamics, among a few other robot manufacturers, to sign an open letter pledging not to weaponize their products and asking their users to do the same. Whether their users, of course, will do the same. Once they splashed out on a Boston Dynamics dog, obviously, unless it can be done, they're going to want to fit sniper rifles to it.
Yes, given that most Americans seem to have a rather large supply of weapons, it'd be rather handy to carry them around for them, yes.
Not so much carrying them around as firing them. That's the thing.
Yes.
The robot dogs are not just pack dogs. To carry your stuff, they actually go into the field and shoot at things for you.
Well, yes, the pledge is interesting because you and I will probably remember the days when computers actually came with manuals, and the manuals for Apple computers always used to have this pledge that you promise not to make nuclear weapons using any Apple product.
Yes.
Which I'm sure every dictator in the world, you know, was then stymied opening it
exactly.
In the manual. Oh, damn, and I hope
because you would then void their warranty.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, which Apple would be the first to point out. Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. Okay, well, let's move on from killer robots.
Let's move on.
Depressed enough already. What have we got now?
Well, you might not give a sniper rifle to a dog, but would you give a machete to a houseplant?
Well, I might take a machete to a houseplant if it got out of control, but how could you give a machete to a plant?
If you were David Bowen, who is a kinetic sculptor, he would do just that. So he's rigged up a houseplant and attached a robot arm to it. And he has a little Arduino box that monitors the electrical signals in the plant.
You're going to have to go backwards. What's Arduino box?
Arduino. We've talked about this before a few times. An Arduino. It's a microcomputer that people doing particular things like animatronics and all kinds of other devices will hook up to their Raspberry Pi. There you go. Have you heard of one of those?
I have.
You have. Okay. It's like that.
Okay.
You hook one of these up to whatever you want, and you can process signals from it. So he's got this arm hooked up to a houseplant, and it waves a machete around in really quite a disturbing-looking fashion.
Wow.
But it's art, so there you go. More dangerous than most
art. Not designed to actually do anything useful.
No. It wouldn't do anything useful. It is art.
Except keeping people watching the art at a safe distance, you hope.
Well, it's better than the do not touch notice, isn't it?
Well, you say better. I can't help feeling you might, you know, if you're not careful, you might actually reduce the number of potential spectators.
You might. There's always that danger. I imagine when they display this in public, there's little rope around it. Possibly even the do not touch sign as
well. The machete would cut through the rope in no time at all.
It certainly would. But he has form, this David Bowen. Early on, he took a bunch of flies and put them in a sphere and tracked their movement throughout the sphere and then used that to fire a revolver, to aim and fire a revolver. I imagine it was loaded with blanks.
I hope he doesn't know about robot dogs.
Well, absolutely. Let's hope he doesn't listen to this show. Otherwise, we might just
push
him over the abyss.
Oh, dear me, dear me, dear me, dear me. Let's have one of those. This might cheer me up. Or possibly not. So where now?
Well, robots can do good as well, of course. And a team at Stanford Biomechatronics Lab. Now, there's a workplace to conjure with.
Yes, yes, yes.
Imagine being at a cocktail party. People say, what do you do? So I work at the Biomechatronics Lab.
I love about you is that whenever you come across a weird name for a company, you always imagine you're at a cocktail party. Do you go to many?
I don't, not nearly enough. But then
I can't help feeling it may have a lot to do with your cocktail party chat.
That may be it. Saying I do a podcast doesn't quite have the same cachet, does it?
No, but say you work for Stanford Biomechatronics Lab or whatever it was, yes.
It is, yes. So they have come up with a robotic boot that helps people to walk. It's aimed at old people, and it apparently helps them to walk 9% faster with less effort. They describe it as being equivalent to taking off a 13-kilogram backpack. They didn't say kilograms, they said in pounds. But I'm saying it in kilograms for the benefit of our British audience. And so
The one you mean people like me who know what pounds are and not kilograms?
That's the one, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you can imagine 13 bags of sugar, can't you?
2-pound bags of sugar?
Yes, if you like.
Okay, yes, right. Okay, yes.
If you like, yes. They're not discreet, has to be said. They look a bit like those surgical calipers that people sometimes wear when their legs don't work properly, but festooned with motors and batteries and electronics. They're not the kind of thing.
Not like being in the rain.
No, these are not quite ready for market yet. They wouldn't fit under your trousers.
Right.
I don't know. They might work. I can't imagine them ever getting made, really. But then that's not the point of science, is it?
It's to push
the forefront of what can be done.
Sounds like a pedestrian version of electric bikes.
It does. It is very much like that, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And I suppose the first electric bike wasn't much to look at either.
Well, intriguing.
It is intriguing.
Watch this space.
Watch this space, or listen to this space, in fact, if you can listen to a space. Let's move on to the iPhone 14, which we talked about at some length, possibly rather too much length, when we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago. And one of the big things about the iPhone 14 was the fact that if it detects you're in a car crash, it could automatically call the emergency services. And in fact, it was put to the test recently when someone driving a car drove into a tree in Nebraska. There were no witnesses, but the phone nevertheless called the emergency services, who were there in time to rescue the people in the car.
Oh, how wonderful.
So
don't ever drive anywhere where you're worried if there's no phone signal.
Yes. Yes, that's also true. Well, of course, they do have the satellite communication system.
Yes, but that only just the occasional dots and dashes, isn't it, or something? I can't remember how you describe
it. It has preset messages that you can send, but they are quite carefully thought out preset messages.
Yes, okay.
They're not sort of Instagram, this is what I had for dinner kind of messages.
Proof of the concept then, yes.
Well, a little bit too much so, as it turns out, because there's a roller coaster in Cincinnati, which has a ride that goes at 91 miles an hour as it drops over nearly 100 meters. And they've had, they've had six alerts from emergency services turning up to this roller coaster because their iPhones say, you're in a car crash, don't panic.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I wonder how it can be adjusted to take account of that. Because the car might well go off a cliff, and that would be the same sort of...
It might. They could easily build a button into it that has wording along the lines of, if you're in a roller coaster, press this button. Although, if you were in a roller coaster and then the roller coaster crashed, then you would want that call to be made. But there are probably other people around who could make it for you.
Well, I was about to say, yes, the chances are it's very hard to do that quietly.
So the tech working well, but perhaps working... just a little bit too well.
Yes, I can't imagine the police would have been very happy on the sixth call out.
Possibly not. Do you think it's police? I'd have thought the first thing you'd call is an ambulance.
Oh, I
to win in
guess.
a car
I
crash.
guess. Yes, I guess so.
Although, mind you, if it's in America, you've got to start suing someone, don't you? So maybe the police
Yeah,
will
but it's
come.
lawyers.
Maybe a
Lawyers.
lawyer.
Yes.
Yes.
Lawyers got there first.
Yes.
Okay, well, what now?
Let's move on to Microsoft. Microsoft don't have any mobile games in their gaming season, so they have decided to buy Activision Blizzard, for which they want to pay about £60 million. Actually, it's in dollars. It's about $60 million these days, isn't it, more or less?
Yes.
And Activision Blizzard make a load of games, including Candy Crush, which is the biggest selling mobile game.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that along with Candy Crush, Activision also make Call of Duty. And Call of Duty is a staple game on the Sony PlayStation. And Sony say, no, this is unfair, because if Microsoft buy it, they're not going to license it for the PlayStation. That'll seriously impact our sales. And Microsoft said, no. We have no plans whatsoever to port,
right.
to stop porting our current games. But it's, what about future games? What about the next Call of Duty? So it is ongoing. They're hoping to actually complete the purchase by next June, I think it is. But there are all kinds of regulatory hoops that they have to jump through. Can you jump through? That'd be a pretty big hoop for you to jump through it, wouldn't it? Maybe hurdles
yes.
they have to jump over. That's probably easier.
Well, people do. Well, the phrase is jumping through hoops.
It
so I
is,
suppose
yes.
people can. But you've
what
got to be a bit
of hoop,
active.
What kind of hoop would you jump through?
Well,
I mean, not
the same
a hula
sort of hoop.
It's not big enough.
Well,
you could jump into one.
No, you could jump through if somebody was holding it vertically.
You could dive through it.
Well, I suppose diving and jumping, okay.
Well, not the same thing. We'll have to look into
well,
that. We'll see how big
well,
a hoop you
it's
can
not,
get.
It's not a very tech thing, a hoop. So unless you can
it's
find
not.
A tech hoop, I suspect it's just best left alone.
A robot hoop, that's what we need.
Yes, a robot hoop.
Oh, you could do a hula hooping without any effort. Just let it roll around you.
That would be wonderful. I've never been able to do it any other way. So yes, no. please, a device that helps the hula hoop do all the work. But then,
exactly.
of course, you don't get slender like they always claim you would with a hula hoop. Right, let us take a quick pause of breath.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sharing ideas about money. This is Share Radio.
So, as long as it's not about hula hoops or any other form of hoop, what next?
It's not about hula hoops. It's about brains. Brains, as we know, are cleverer than computers. Even the stupidest brain is actually cleverer than the cleverest computer, depending on how you measure it, of course.
Right.
And to show just how clever brain cells are, a bunch of scientists from a range of universities, including UCL in London, have grown brain cells in a laboratory and taught them to play Pong. Well, Pong, the
yes,
one of the early
yes.
video games.
I
yes.
do remember the one that burnt sort of phosphor marks into your television set.
That's the one.
Yes.
That's the one, exactly, yes.
Yes. yes.
So what they've done is they've taken 800,000 cells and they connect them to electrodes and they've linked it to the game and they've somehow taught these cells the difference between hitting the ball and missing it.
Right.
I don't know how they persuaded these brain cells that hitting it is a good thing and missing it is a bad thing. I don't know what kind of reward they can give these brain cells in a jar.
Or indeed penalty for getting it wrong.
Or indeed a penalty,
yes.
exactly,
yes.
yes. But they have taught them to play Pong. As I say, they did it with both human and mice cells, and it turns out that the human cells could rally for longer. What they didn't do was have the human cells playing
the
against
mice.
The mice.
Yes,
I know. They
been
really missed a trick there, didn't they?
Absolutely. But I would be rather worried. Maybe they were worried that the mice would win.
That would have been concerning.
Yeah, with the next
yeah.
international Pong championship, that would be
yes.
dreadful. The mice
and then
up on mass.
People would develop robot mice carrying sniper
yeah,
rifles.
Yes, yes, yes. Real life Pong.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, how bizarre. And does this have any ramifications? Or,
well, not yet. I mean, this is still in the field of pure research. But it does show that brain cells.
So gamers don't have
to
worry that these brain cells are going to be able to play Call of Duty anytime soon.
At least gamers with PlayStation don't have to worry about it at all, no.
Okay. Well, let's move on, though. Before we do, I should point out there are lots and lots of editions of Gadget and Gizmos available from your favourite podcast platform. If you want to search for this or indeed any of Share Radio's podcast programmes on Spotify, Amazon or Apple, then you just search with the word Harken without any vowels, HRKN, and you will find it. But you are listening to Gadget and Gizmos. Steve Kaplan is going to tell us what the latest thing he's found is.
Well, the latest thing was crypto, of course, cryptocurrencies being the latest thing. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about cryptocurrencies is that they are all based on blockchain, which means they can't be hacked. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out they can be hacked. Not only can they be hacked, but they can make mistakes. So there's a crypto.com, which is one of the biggest cryptocurrency markets. Mm-hmm. Refunded a woman in Australia $100, inadvertently gave her $10.5 million. That was their big mistake.
I'm not great at maths, but that's quite a difference.
It's quite a difference. It turns out that it was one of their operators in Bulgaria who mistyped the number. I don't know, maybe put in her phone number rather than the amount. Who knows?
Okay.
But the thing is, it took crypto.com 6 months to notice that they'd missed this $10.5 million. By which time, the person that they'd given it to had bought four houses, a number of cars, some art and some furniture, and then sent $4 million home to Singapore. And so they went to the person, Jatinder Singh, it was, who actually put it in his wife's name because he'd used his wife's credit card to buy the cryptocurrency in the first place.
Yes.
Before she said she didn't want it. That's when they refunded her the $100. And he said, he had an email from crypto.com saying that he'd won a competition, and that's how he thought he got the $10.5 million. Crypto come back and said, but we don't ever send emails about competitions. We don't run competitions. And they're currently suing him for fraud.
Really?
Which is a bit sad, really, because it was entirely their fault to start with.
Well, true, though, if an ordinary bank actually gives you more money than you need, or one of their machines starts sort of churning out notes, it is your responsibility to give them back. I know, because it's happened. Not often that somebody gets $10.5 million, but it's happened quite often that banks somehow send money to the wrong person, and it's always beholden upon you not to go and buy four houses, cars, art and furniture.
Yes, you can't really claim you didn't notice after you've done all of that.
No. Well, I mean, if you did get an email about competition, then that I don't know, I'm sort of, my sympathy is almost with Mr. and Mrs. Singh, frankly.
Exactly. Well, on now to Binance, which is the world's largest crypto exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Who have been hacked? They lost $570 million in an exploit that some hacker discovered between two blockchains.
Well, at least they noticed it.
They did notice it. And they've got most of it back. They've got back all except $100 million. So, I mean, not a great result for Binance, because losing $100 million is a bit rough for just about anyone, isn't it?
Yes. Not small change. Yes. No. I think most people would. Even Elon Musk might.
Try looking down the back of their sofa, couldn't they?
Yeah. Let's have one of these. So where now?
Well, last week we talked about all the new products that Amazon were launching, a whole slew or raft of products.
Yes.
And they launch new products quite often. And one they launched last year was a product called Glow, which was a $300 video calling device for children, so that children could stay in touch not just with each other, but with their grandparents. They've now discontinued it. Presumably because they've realised that most children have their own phones, so they can do all their video calling on that.
Right.
But what was innovative about the Glow was that it could project images, or in fact, probably video, onto the table in front of it. so they could play games that they were pointed at by, you know, their grandparents could send them a game to play and they could sit there and their grandparents could watch them as they played the game, which I think quite a bit of fun. But as I say, it has been discontinued. They will be glowing no more.
Well, presumably it wasn't being used then, I imagine.
No, it wasn't being used because kids have smartphones. Mm. Even young kids seem to have smartphones these days.
Well, so do some grandparents.
So do some grandparents, exactly. So a device that may have made sense when they were developing it, but as soon as it came out onto the market, it was obsolete already.
Yes, mind, I guess Amazon doesn't. I mean, they launch so many things that knocking a few on the head is probably going to make no difference to them whatsoever.
No, that's probably just the case. But I think we should move on to our crowdfunding time of the week, if we can.
In that case, let's have the old one.
Oh, okay.
I haven't heard it for months, years possibly. I just like it. You want the new one,
I thought that was the app of the week sound.
Oh, no, the app of the week's this. Which makes me think we haven't had an app of the week for quite a long time.
We haven't. We should have one.
Yes, I don't think
I've got
handy.
I haven't got one in my pocket at the moment, but we can do one next week.
Okay. I'm having problems with one of the apps you recommended, the House of Da Vinci 3 game, where I seem to have discovered a glitch that nobody else in the world has discovered, according to
you
the developers.
You got stuck?
Yeah, I got completely stuck. And Is there something
you should have done before you did what you can't do?
They're basically saying go right back to the beginning and try again and see if it happens. But given how long it's taken me to get this far. So yes. Anyway, but we're not having an app of the week. Crowdfunding is what you were going to talk about. And somehow we got derailed.
We are having the e-minder, which is a minder, or rather reminder without the R. Clever, you see? Right. Do you get it? E-minder. Yep. It is a digital list. So it is a little 4-inch screen, which is encased in a rather nice pine frame, and it displays a list for you, and you send it the list from your smartphone. So far, well, so what? But here's the really clever thing. It uses e-ink, the same thing that's used on Kindles, for example, and on price tags in some supermarkets. You'll see e-ink on the price tags and some things.
Ooh, I haven't seen that yet. Ooh. Okay.
Oh, have you not? Huh. No? You probably haven't not noticed it. The thing about e-ink is once the pixels are set to be the color they are, so either on or off, it takes no power to keep them on.
Right.
So if you have a Kindle and it's switched off, it'll keep the image on the screen forever without using any power. What's even cleverer about this is it doesn't require a battery. Excuse me. It doesn't require a battery.
Right.
Or to be plugged in. That's clever. Don't you think that's clever?
Yes.
Here's how it works.
For using lists, I use this thing called a pen and a piece of paper. And oddly enough, once you've written the thing, it doesn't require any more power and it doesn't really require any power to begin with.
No, but after a couple of hundred years, it starts to fade.
Well, I suppose that's true. Okay. I'm convinced so far, but go on.
And frankly, a pad of paper wouldn't make it onto gadgets and gizmos. Even if you had
probably
a fancy
true.
Pen.
Probably true. Okay, so why
here's
is this
how
a
it
plan?
Works. When you make a list on your phone or any other kind of reminder,
yes,
and you hold the phone up to the e-minder and you press the send button on your phone, that transfers the message via NFC, near-field communication, and that NFC signal carries just enough charge to make the e-minder change what's on the screen.
And so how do you use the e-minder? I mean, I hate to be nitpicking here, but if you've already got the list on your phone, won't that suffice for any use of the list that you need? What is the e-minder for?
It's always on. So you could put it by the front door. You could put it saying, don't forget your car keys,
for example. Okay, I see what you mean. Okay.
Mm. Or you could have a little shopping list on it.
Yes. You mean like most people use pieces of paper or post-it notes? Okay.
Oh, well, yes. I mean, most people do that, use these pieces of paper and post-it notes. It's not that pretty. It's quite a chunky frame. It's quite a low-resolution screen. And for some reason, when you send the note, they prefer to use this curious handwriting font, which makes the chunkiness of the pixels look even worse.
Oh, you don't like it when you like the font, do
you? I don't like it. Yeah. I didn't really like the font.
So you won't be buying one?
Well, the £96, I won't be buying one. because, as you say, you could buy quite a lot of pads of paper for £96.
Yes.
But anyway, you have until the 8th of November if you want to go and have a look at the eMinder. It's not the thing itself, but it's the fact that it uses no power either to stay on or to receive its messages. I think that it's absolutely ingenious. Okay. And if they could make it in a different format, then I think that would be just a brilliant idea. It is the first implementation that I've seen of this kind of technology. And I think it's really, really ingenious.
Okay. Steve, thank you very much indeed. That's all we've got time for Gadget and Gizmos for this week. But we'll be back with more at the same time next week.
Is it a gadget? Is it a gizmo? No, it's Gadgets and Gizmos with Steve Kaplan and Simon Rose.